Good morning. Welcome to our service today, all you are here and all you are joining us on Zoom. It's a privilege to be here, and I hope that we can say at the end of today it's been good to worship the Lord in his house. I've got the Advent wreath candles. I must call it a crown, it's not a wreath. I've got the Advent crown to deal with. Now there's three candles to light. Who wants to do it? Come on then. Another one? The third? Come on then. Right. Come on up. Now look, it's that one, and that one. Why don't we light that one and that one?
Because they're fourth and fifth.
Correct. That's for next week. And what's that one for?
Thursday.
Christmas Day. Got it, yeah. So who's going to go first? So if I light this for you, you can then light that one, or that one. Yeah? Okay, there you go. Excellent. Who's going next? That one or that one? Yay! You've got to go in the middle. Watch you don't get burnt on that one. Now, together, you can blow it out. Go on. Thank you very much. Psalm 146 says, "Our souls proclaim your greatness, O God, and our spirits rejoice in you. We will praise you as long as we live. We will sing praise to you our whole lives long. We will not trust in the powerful of this world. We'll trust in you. Creator of heaven and earth, the one who gives food to the hungry, the one who enacts justice for the oppressed. Our souls proclaim your greatness, O God, as we worship you this morning, and as we light these candles in hope, in peace, and in joy." Let us pray. Holy God, God of joy, we rejoice in the reality of who you are, and we live within the joy of your love for us. Our contentment comes and goes. Our happiness ebbs and flows. Our feelings depend upon our circumstances, our physical health, our brain chemistry. But our joy is deeply rooted in our identity as your beloved children. And we give you our thanks today. Amen. Our first song today, our first hymn, is a carol. It's an Advent carol. It says, "Come thou long expected Jesus." It's time for the young people to leave us now. I think, wait a minute. That's keen, I like that. It's only for those who are 10 and under. So you've got to stay, lads, okay? Sorry about that. But the younger ones are going, and you're going to have a great time, I know. So before you go, I'd just like to say a prayer for you and the leaders who are going to share this morning with you. Okay? Shall we say a prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for Sunday and all the things we learned about you here at church. We thank you for our leaders who take and give so much time so we can learn about you. Help us this morning. Help us to know you, to love you, and to share our joy in you together. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now you can go. They're not the only ones who are going to have an interesting and joyful time this morning, because we are, and Annalisa is going to come and lead us. Thank you.
Hopefully you all got your baubles when you came in. That's what you need today. Our prayer focus today is to reflect on the gift of salvation and offer prayers of thanksgiving to God, and to consider ways of sharing this gift with others. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 14 to 15 says, "Their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." So today, consider the wonderful gift of salvation with which God has blessed us in Jesus. In the quiet of your heart, reflect on how you might be best able to share this love with others. As you reflect, write a prayer of thanksgiving for the gift of salvation, or a prayer asking for a spiritual gift to help you share salvation with others, or just a word that you would want to share with others, for example, joy, hope, or peace. And I invite you this morning that once you have done that, if you are able, bring your bauble forward and hang it onto our prayer tree at the front. Thank you. Today we will fill our prayers with joy. Let us pray. Father God, today we come to you with joyful hearts that you sent your Son Jesus to the world as a baby all those years ago. We give thanks for the joy that he brings, the joy of the promise of everlasting life with you. Lord, sometimes it's really hard to find joy in situations that we face, but we give thanks with joyful hearts for the blessings you bestow on us as we walk with you. Draw close to us and those that we know and love, and bring us joy amongst the busyness and stresses and strains we face in our daily lives. Help us to find joy this Christmas. Father, we lift up those to you who are struggling today, those who grieve, those who struggle with ill health of body or mind, those who face uncertainty in their lives, their relationships, their work, their finances. May you draw close to them, surround them with your love and peace, and help them to find joy in you and in their lives. We bring the names of those we know who are struggling to you now. We give thanks to you for your wonderful creation. We are sorry that we sometimes fall short as custodians of it. We pray for those communities around the world who are affected by flooding, drought, eroding land, fire, and famine. Show us the ways we can help. We pray that the joy that comes from knowing you will sustain your people around the world. We ask for protection for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who face persecution for following you. We pray for your peace and love to surround them, and we pray that they will be able to share the joy of loving you with others safely and free from harm. Father God, help us to shine the love, peace and joy that following you can bring into the lives of those that we know, who do not yet have a personal relationship with you, and we bring their names to you now. Help us to seek opportunities to share the good news of Jesus this Christmas. In the quiet, we raise the names and situations that are on our hearts and minds at this time. We ask you to be close to and amongst all the situations that are now mentioned. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers. Thank you that when we cry out to you, you hear us. May the joy that we receive by following you stay with us through the Christmas period. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us, and thank you for the gift of Jesus. Let us now share the prayer that he taught us to pray, with joy in our hearts that he hears our prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We turn to Scripture again, this time to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. And I read the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a human husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Thanks be to God, for this is word. Amen. We sing again, another Advent carol. Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes. Well, just in case you're in any doubt, today is the third week in Advent. This means that we're almost there. In just over 1 week, it will be Christmas Day. Christmas. I love Christmas. But every year I ask the same question. What does Christmas mean today? I mean, what are you expecting it to happen this year? How are you going to celebrate the birth of Jesus? Let me take you back in time. It was December 1939, the beginning of World War II. A soldier holding his wife and young son in his arms told them not to worry. He said, "I'll be back before Christmas." 5 more years of war and fighting went by. Every day the young mother would show her little boy a photograph of the soldier and say, "Look, that's your daddy. One day he's going to come home." But in reality, she didn't know what to expect. One morning, the little boy said, "Mommy, wouldn't it be wonderful if Daddy could just step out of the picture? Wouldn't it be wonderful?" In a sense, that's exactly what God did that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. As part of his plan, he stepped out of heaven and became a man so that you and I could look at Jesus and say, "That's what God looks like." The Apostle John described this stepping out as he wrote, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This verse, this little verse, is the climax of John's prologue as John completes his introduction of Jesus by proclaiming his humanity. Or as one theologian once put it, proclaiming his humanity in the midst of his divinity. I like that. Proclaiming his humanity in the midst of his divinity. This one little verse contains the truth behind the story of Mary and Joseph, the angels and the shepherds, the wise men and the journey to Bethlehem, that first Christmas. Christmas is a joyous time. Yes, of course it is. But without this little verse, I don't think the story has any meaning. John 1 verse 14 tells us what really happened 2,000 years ago and what it means for us today. And the key words are grace and truth. This verse reveals four great certainties for us today. One, Jesus became human. Two, Jesus lived amongst us. Three, Jesus revealed his glory. And four, Jesus invites us to himself. John says, the Word became flesh. Well, link this verse with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word that was God now became into being as flesh and blood. In other words, he exists as a human being. Now, we often say that Jesus is God, and that's true. But looking at it another way, and I think this is quite incredible, God became Jesus of Nazareth. God became Jesus when he stepped out into the world. And Jesus became the visible expression of the invisible God. If you like, he became something we can see. And he did this to reveal the nature of the Father. This was God in a suit of flesh. This was God expressing himself in a language that we could understand. This was God announcing to the world, look, I have come. Now, theologians call this the incarnation. And in many ways, I suppose this is hard to understand. In fact, would you believe many debates have transpired, especially in the early church, to what it actually meant. Some people said that Jesus wasn't really a man. He just looked like a man. Others said that he had the body of a man, but he didn't have a human soul. Others said that Jesus was two people in one body, sort of a half God and half man. And unbelievers, well, they said it was all nonsense anyway, because Jesus wasn't God at all. They claimed he was just an ordinary person like you and me. Just like everyone else on this planet. But I'm here this morning to tell you that all those ideas are wrong. Because when Jesus stepped out into the world, the infinite God took the form of a tiny, unborn baby boy. The Son didn't cease to be God when he became a man. He just added humanity. He didn't subtract deity. He was fully God and fully man. The God-man. Just think about it. The almightiness of God moved in a human arm. The love of God now beat in a human heart. The wisdom of God spoke from human lips. The mercy of God reached from human hands. Jesus was God, wrapped up in human flesh. I remember reading the story about a little girl once who was frightened at night during a thunderstorm. She cried out to her dad, "Daddy, help me!" Her dad was in the next room. He didn't even bother to get out of bed. He said, "Sweetheart, God loves you and he'll take care of you." Anyway, another bolt of lightning, a clap of thunder, caused the little girl to cry out again, "Daddy!" Her dad gave the same response. "Sweetheart, go back to sleep. God loves you and he will take care of you." Well, the storm raged again and the frightened little girl yelled again, "Daddy!" Her dad's response was just the same. But this time the little girl replied, "Daddy, I know that God loves me, but right now I need someone with skin on." How true that is. Someone with skin on. When Jesus stepped out, he was God with skin on. God became a man in human flesh. The next phrase of John 1:14 reveals the residence of God on earth. It says, "and made his dwelling amongst us." Now the word "dwell" literally means, would you believe, to pitch a tent. Theologians define it, or they call it, a tabernacle. In fact, the tabernacle was sometimes called the tent of meeting, because this was the divinely appointed meeting place between God and man. In the same way, but in a much deeper sense, Jesus is the place where we meet God today. A man by the name of Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrases this verse. He says, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood." I like that. For 33 years, God moved onto our cul-de-sac. He walked down our street. And when he stepped out, he lived amongst us. Why? Well, pitching a tent amongst us implies that God wants to be on familiar terms with us. He wants to be close. He wants some interaction. If you move into a community and build a huge mansion with a wall around it, as some do, you'll probably be saying that you don't really want to be bothered by people. But if you come and set up your tent on my back garden, you'll probably use my bathroom and eat at my table and probably play with the kids next door. This is exactly why God became human. He came to pitch a tent in our back garden so that we could have a lot of dealings with him. Next, John speaks of the manifestation of God's glory. He says, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father." Again, Peterson rewords it. He says, "We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, as we sometimes say, like Father, like Son." When John writes, "we've seen," he uses a word that means to gaze intently upon, to study as if we're in a laboratory. It's a word from which we get the English word theatre. The word "glory" refers to the visible manifestation of God's presence and power. And this carries with it the idea of weight and importance. When Jesus stepped out, when he walked on earth, people could see and gaze upon God's presence shining through him. They saw the importance of God in their lives. And just so there was no mistake, John recorded 7 signs of miracles that openly declared the glory of God. The first one you're all familiar with. It was when Jesus turned the water into wine at Cana in Galilee. John says that he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Jesus was not invisible, and he wasn't obscure either. When you look at Jesus, you see the face of God. And I believe God wants to be seen, and he wants to be known in his Son. When you hear Jesus teach, you hear God teach. When you come to experience Jesus, you experience God. Yesterday morning, we went into Corby Town, and where the churches of Corby got together and were doing a carol service. It looked impromptu, but it was very well organised. And towards the end of this impromptu service, the minister leading the service called a young woman to come forward and give a testimony. And she told the whole of Corby, in no uncertain terms, how she had met Jesus in a real and living way, got to know him, was baptised because of him, and now lived a different life because of him. It was a brilliant testimony. I wish he was here this morning. It'd be better than this. Because it was real. It was wonderful. You can't get away from it, this. In Jesus, whatever form he comes, we see God. Finally, this verse ends with a powerful word of invitation. It tells us that Jesus came to earth full of grace and truth. Peterson says he was generous inside and out, true from start to finish. When he stepped out, Jesus offered grace and truth. And these are the two final great pair of words in John's prologue as he introduces Jesus. Grace is irresistible. It's an irresistible compulsion to give men and women more than they deserve. And this springs spontaneously from the boundless generosity of God. Truth, on the other hand, has roots in divine determination to be consistent, to be predictable, and be totally trustworthy in dealing with men and women. And these two words explain why Jesus stepped out, why he came to the earth. Because he was full of grace, he died for you and me while we were yet sinners. Because he was full of truth, he was able to pay for our sins completely. And you know, that's good news for people like us. Because Jesus is graceful, we can come to him just as we are. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. Because he's truthful, we can come in complete confidence, knowing that he will keep his promises. When he promises a complete pardon for our sins, he means it. The thing that came over to me yesterday, as I stood there and listened to these guys, because they did a preach afterwards as well, it came to me loud and clear that this Christmas, the one present that this world needs the most is the present of grace and truth. And we find these things in Jesus. And for me, this is what Christmas really means. This is what Christmas is all about. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the author of grace. He came to earth worthless and was born into oppression and dominion. He came to a broken place and a broken people. And in the end, was broken himself. This author of grace was told by many that he was no good, that he was a liar, that he was useless, that he was deluded, that he was mad. Finally, he received the ultimate rejection and insult. And he paid with his life on a hill called Calvary. He was broken for the broken, hated for the hated. He was despised and rejected, so that despised and rejected would have a hero, someone to look to, and a comforter who would meet their needs. But in reality, he told us what we already knew, didn't he? You know, as well as I do, that we are broken and in need of repair. He tells us that that repair will be free for the taking. He tells us that we're all loved in spite of the voices in our heads, the words of our enemies and the cruelties of families and friends. We're loved. And in bringing us grace, he changed the world. He said that we could never do enough to be truly good. And in that moment, he did away with any other contingent therapy for the misery of humanity. No wealth or position can cure our loneliness. No rule or law could ever overcome our weakness. No plan or good deed could ever earn our healing. Only the gift that he brought, only himself, Jesus, can ever meet these needs. At Christmas time, Jesus shouts down all the other voices we hear, and he says again, "You are worth everything to me. I'll make you good. You don't need to die. I came to do it for you. Then you can really live." In conclusion, let me ask again, what does all this mean for us? As I understand it, the fact that Jesus came, stepped out into the world, and was God in human flesh has several implications. Jesus is not some distant relative that we see every couple of years at Christmas. This Jesus wants to take up residence in our life. This Jesus wants to be the go-to person in our life. This Jesus wants to be engaged and involved in our life. Sometimes, dare I say, often, we think of God as being up there, far removed from the cares and concerns of this, his created world. But because Jesus became a man, God came down here, living in our midst. We could never reach him up there. But in love, he came down here to us. And he became touchable, approachable, reachable. And in the act of becoming human, he identified with our pain, the pain of loneliness. Jesus felt that. The hurt of rejection. Jesus felt that. The sadness of losing a loved one to death. He felt that. The scars of mental or physical abuse. He felt that. When Jesus became a man, he understood us. He identified with us. He felt our pain, our hurt, as well as our joy. In other words, the one gift we all need this Christmas and for all eternity can be found only at one source. The gift is salvation. The giver is Jesus. He is the one present we can't do without. Jesus is the one who met the conditions of God for the payment for our sins and now offers forgiveness on the basis of his grace. Marvellous? It sure is. Jesus stepped out of heaven and he did it for you and for me. And he brings with him the amazing gifts of grace and truth. He came into this world at Christmas. And he personally comes again this morning. To every one of us, you and me. And he comes offering his grace and his truth as he's always done. He doesn't stand off at a distance or just remain untouchable in the picture frame. He's here, now, and he's personally reaching out to you and to me. Will you come to him? Are you going to come to him this Christmas? Why not? Make Christmas complete. Accept the baby in the manger. Make him Lord of your life. Step out with Jesus. For as the Apostle John described it, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. May God bless us all. Amen. We're going to sing again now. It's another carol, but this time it's a Christmas carol. There it is. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Please be seated. If those who are serving would like to join me. If you truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbours and are resolved to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this sacrament to your comfort and growth in grace. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Scripture says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread which I shall give is my own flesh, given for the life of the world. Listen. I stand at the door and knock. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come into the house and eat with them, and they with me. Let us pray. Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. We aren't even worthy to gather up the crumbs under your table. But it's your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So we come and seek your forgiveness. Forgive us when we're quick to point the finger at someone else. Forgive us when we put our heads down and ignore the cries of injustice. Forgive us when we presume to understand the complexity of issues that divide and distract the peoples of the land your feet once walked. Merciful God, forgive us, heal us, encourage us, and speak through us, that we might be transformed through the refiner's fire, and the offerings of our hands and our hearts may prepare the way for the Christ child to be welcomed amongst us again this Christmas. Hear our prayer, for we bring it in his name. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For the tradition that I passed on to you came to me from the Lord himself. That on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." So we bring our thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty God, loving Heavenly Father, we offer you our praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving for the creation of your world in all its richness and glory. For your gracious work of redemption in liberating the oppressed, renewing the weary and forgiving the sinful. And for your calling of men and women, like us, to share in the work of salvation, in the story of Israel and our story. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, the eternal Word made flesh, sharing our humanity and revealing your love and compassion. We thank you for his life and ministry in word and action, his lifting up of the lowly, and his healing of the broken. We thank you for his redeeming death on the cross for all humanity, of which this bread and this cup are the symbol and sign. We thank you for raising him to life again and exalting him so that we might call him Lord as we offer him our allegiance and seek to share his way. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, powerfully present in your people and your world, for the fellowship of your church, and for all the means of grace and the hope of glory. Almighty, ever-living God, fill us now with your Spirit as we share this bread and this wine, so that we might feed on the body and blood of Christ and be empowered for service in your world. Accept our prayers, our thanksgiving, for we offer them in the name of Jesus, who is the light of the world and the life of your people here. Amen. Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We shall eat this bread as we receive it, giving thanks to God, who gives us all things. The broken bread, reminding us of the broken Christ, who was broken for us. Amen. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it in memory of me." We shall retain this cup and drink together when all are served. So then drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Amen. Father, we thank you for meeting with us again this morning, and for all the blessings we've received through bread and wine. We thank you for the joy of Jesus, for his grace and truth and all the light he brings into our lives. But somehow, Lord, we're not altogether convinced that darkness is a thing of the past. Many people in this world of ours feel their world is one of darkness and gloom. Pressures crowd in upon us. They get us down. The causes are varied. Bereavement, illness, money worries, worries about family, trouble at work or not having work, drugs, drink, boredom, doubt, weariness, futility. And then there are the world issues, war, poverty, climate change, disease, unfair trade, and so the list goes on. It doesn't help when we feel that as Christians we should be doing so much better than we are. Gracious, loving God, we rejoice that you are with us in our troubles, that you know us and that you love us, will always love us. Even though we've made a mess of things, personally and collectively, you remain faithful. We rejoice that your Son didn't come into a perfect world. He came into a broken world, our world. He came to bring light to the darkness, our darkness. We pray for our dark and dreary world. It's a world in need. In need not just for a technical fix, but a world in need of love and grace, forgiveness and new life, hope, peace and fellowship. In need of renewal, in need of you. We pray this morning that you would come alongside us and all those for whom we pray, that you'd show us Jesus, the light of the world, the one who came and who still comes to rid us of sin, to give us life and health and peace, peace that passes all understanding. Not just a temporary respite from trouble, but the strength to overcome it and ultimately to receive life eternal. Hear us now as we pray for those in darkness of whatever kind. For we pray that they might see and know the light of Christ and be touched by his truth and grace today. Hear our prayers, Lord, spoken and unspoken, and answer them for Jesus' sake. Amen. We join to sing our concluding hymn this morning, another carol, one of my favourites, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. time of fellowship, a time of communion. We close our service with the grace, and we can't say the grace without holding hands and joining together in this one beautiful time. We say together, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.